ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Presented by Zadok Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show, he's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
That ball smoked. Your dodgeball. I mean, out in a flash from the bat to the second deck in record time here in Milwaukee. It's now 5-1 on the Astros' fourth home run of the night.
That was important.
Murder. Murder. We talking about murder.
That's what the Houston Astros did to Corbin Burnes in the Milwaukee Brewers last night. 12-2, most runs thus far this season, 5 home runs, 2 of them by Yordan Alvarez, a nice outing from Christian Javier as well. What's going on, people? It is the Paul Gallant Show on this Tuesday, May 23rd of 2023, the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. Nights like last night make you feel really good about the direction of the Astros, who are now just a game back of Texas in the American League West. They've won 8 games in a row. They've won 11 of their last 12. They're looking great. And it allows you, at the very least in the short term, to put some questions and issues that you might have with the team to the side. Hey, what's going on with Jose Abreu? Guess what? Jose Abreu had 2 hits last night. Were any of them hard contact? No. But there was a stretch over the last couple of games until his last at-bats where Jose Abreu was on base in 7 of his last 15 at-bats. Jose Abreu. How about that? Like it? No? Bad pun? Dad joke? It's fine. It's okay. Mauricio Dubon hit his first home run of the year. Corey Jolks continues to hit well. Jake Myers had a nice catch in the outfield. Nice night. It was a nice night. And one of the things that I'm thinking about right now as the Astros get further and further into the season, we're basically a quarter of the way through the year already. It does seem like they have some players that could get them whatever they're going to be looking for at the trade deadline that are now expendable because of what you've been seeing. They weirdly, all of a sudden, have a ton of outfield depth. No? Jolks, Myers, Dubon's now back in the outfield, McCormick. I don't know how long all of these guys are going to continue to play well. I'm surprised by Jolks. I've been really surprised by what we've seen from Jake Myers. Chandler Rome had a piece in The Athletic about how he's changed his stance up a little bit. And then, I mean, Dubon has one of the best averages in baseball right now. And we know what Chaz McCormick can do when it's an important situation. You actually have a plethora of depth in the outfield despite Michael Brantley possibly never playing for you this year. And I feel like that's still something that's on the table. So, nice little ace to have in your back pocket. We'll see if all of this good play continues. But I like that. Astros seem to have a little more trade value than you'd have thought. Are they going to get something significant in return for it? I don't know. I mean, what did you really get for Jake Odorizzi when you traded him last year? Did it get you to the championship? Did it get you over the hump? Probably not, but that was something that I took away from last night. It was a beautiful victory by your Houston Astros. 713-780-3776 to call. To text as well on the HRNP listener line. You can also join us on our Twitch chat, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Vita311 says that was a fun game. Felt like we should have seen that at home against the A's, but cool to see it against a pitcher like Burnes. Yeah, that guy won the Cy Young in 2021. Right? He's supposedly pretty good. Maybe the Brewers don't think so because I guess they've been kind of cheap with him. But hey, they hit 5 home runs off of a really good starter. yesterday. Another comment. Virginia Buttonweed says I mispronounced a word. Eh, whatever. I don't know how half the words of the English language
are. Plethora was the...
What did I say?
You said plethora.
What's it supposed to be?
Plethora.
I like plethora better.
Okay.
Plethora sounds better. That is the voice of at Sean A. Mapes on Twitter behind the glass. Sean, what did you think about yesterday's Astros victory?
I mean, it's always nice when you can just chuck a W up in like the fifth inning, fourth inning.
God.
You're just like, all right, well, this one's over.
It was easy. And I thought this would be the one tough series for the Astros. And of course, there's two games left. But they have been going through a cupcake buffet. Cubs stink. A's stink. White Sox stink. Brewers are the one team that's good that they're playing before the schedule toughens up as we go from May into June. And I did say a couple of weeks ago, yes, patting myself on the back, that I think the Astros are going to be in first place by the end of the month. Is Paul 2 for 2 when it comes to calling the Astros erasing rather large deficits in the standings? Yes. Although, perhaps I'm doing a touchdown dance at the one-yard line, DeSean Jackson style, Joe Mixon style. You know, a lot of people said that Joe Mixon shouldn't be drafted because of the thing that he did at Oklahoma, which, you know, maybe a good point given the most recent thing that he is dealing with. But I was of the belief you don't draft Joe Mixon because he was one of those dumbasses that couldn't carry the ball with him into the end zone. That was a problem for DeSean Jackson multiple times over the course of his career. I think at least twice, if not three times. And Joe Mixon did that once in a game against Ohio State. And I was like, you can't draft him. Can't draft him because of that. Yes, a dumb take to have, but a fun take to have. Nights like last night make me wonder what's going to happen at noon. Is that strange that I'm thinking so much about the other shows on our station? I mean, yeah, the Weasel House. Specifically Jake Asman, because this isn't ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is Jake Asman 97.5 and 92.5. Jake Asman did get the bench fired. You've obviously been hearing the last couple of days. Dell's going to be getting the morning show. They're trying to figure out who his co-host is. You might not have heard, too, that Cody has been suspended from this afternoon show. I feel like it's a false flag, and it's, of course, done by the Redheaded devil himself, Jake Asman. Does he have a soul? I don't know. Is he willing to throw his teammate under the bus to make it seem like the Wheelhouse is under the same restrictions under our new program director as all the other shows? Maybe. I think it's a false flag. I think it's a false flag. He's throwing Cody under the bus. Now, it also could have been Cody, you know, abusing the interns. I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I know Cody's in charge of the interns, I think. So, I don't know. Like, no, he's not. Oh, he's not. I think I know why.
Yeah. Well, no. I didn't mean to do that. But no, Joe yanked that title away from him when Joe got in.
There's so much messiness going on behind the scenes. But anyway.
Yeah, got a couple dictators that work here.
We really do. I mean, we just twiddle our thumbs and tell the truth. Always. I've never lied.
Keep our head down for 2 hours.
Right. Exactly. So... but sometimes I think about what's going to happen after my two-hour shift is done. You know, the Astros just won a game 12-2. What's the spin for the Killer Bees? How can I dump on a 12-2 victory? Like, that's the high art. This is why I respect Jeremy Branham so much. He will find a way to zag. He wasn't feeling me talking about Jose Abreu's recent on-base percentage streak. What is Jeremy going to do? How do you zag after a 12-2 win where you hit 5 home runs off a Cy Young winner? What do you do?
Jose Abreu hit 5th last night. They dropped him in the order. See? I think it'll be a pat on my back edition of the Killer Bees. I think it'll be like, see what happens when you drop him just one spot.
Well, he did have 2 hits. I mean...
Revitalize the entire offense.
Move him back up into the 4th spot is what I think you have to do after what you saw yesterday. Right. So, I mean, look.
Maybe that'll be the topic of discussion. Do you keep him at 5th or, mission accomplished, bump him back up to 4th?
It's a great question. You'll hear it, Sean, at noon. I'm looking forward to the zag. But if you can do a Killer Bees impression, Hit me, baby. 713-780-3776. What is Jeremy going to say about the 12-2 victory at noon? And you have to say it in Jeremy's voice. I want it to be the most booming broadcaster voice you possibly can make it, okay? How do you zag after a 12-2 win? Also, up next, we've been waiting to hear what Jeff Bagwell, who is likely the reason that Jose Abreu is on the Houston Astros, we've been waiting to hear what Bagwell has to say about Abreu and his struggles to open the year. He actually weighed in on that on the broadcast last night. You'll hear what he had to say next. It's the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
2-1 to Jones. He smokes one into left field. This ball's all the way back and gone. That was a laser beam over the left field wall. Corey Jones, in his first career bat against Corbin Burns, sends one out.
That's awesome.
The Astros had a plethora of home runs yesterday. 5 off of former Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burns on their way to a 12-2 victory over the Milwaukee Brewers. First place in the NL Central. Nice win for the Astros yesterday.
When you say former Cy Young Award winner, do you think that that means they're going to like take his the one that he won in like 2020 away?
Honestly, I think they should.
Like, come on, dude.
Sean, I'll be honest, and you guys all know, I'm probably the biggest baseball mind at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, but I had no idea who Corbin Burns was until this year. So I don't know that he actually won that Cy Young Award. I know a lot of people talk about Corbin Burns getting, I guess, the business from the Brewers in arbitration negotiations this offseason. But before that, never heard of him. I don't think he's real. I don't think that Cy Young was merited because the Astros just absolutely bullied him last night. So
it's a psyop. This is all just, they're right. Playing us.
I think it's a plethora of BS that Corbin Burns is a former Cy Young Award winner based off of what I saw last night. Because that's all I have to go off of. What, I'm going to watch a Brewers game? No.
I just did. They right. Don't look that good.
Guess I'm going to have to wait till the next series. Oh, they're playing the A's next? Well, guess we're going to have to wait until the playoffs. Text in, we did ask people to try to impersonate the zag that Jeremy Branham will have today during the Killer Bees from the 361. Imagine what Will Levis would do in that fifth spot instead of Abreu. That's a fair one because Jeremy Branham thinks that Will Levis, second round draft pick, is the best quarterback in this year's draft class. Is it because of the mayonnaise and coffee? Is it because of the eating bananas with the banana peel? Is it because of that sexy selfie that Will Levis posted? He does look jacked. I'll be honest. If I saw Will Levis, I would assume he's Mike Trout. I would just assume because no one knows what Mike Trout actually looks like as we continue to talk about my depth of knowledge when it comes to the sport of baseball. Will Levis, Mike Trout. Yeah, you could sell me. That's Mike Trout. You could. So maybe he is good at baseball. And by the way, we did find out during the commercial break, Sean, Jeremy Branham also suspended. Didn't know. Look, there's real beef between the Killer Bees and, as some call it, not me, I would never, because they're my close friends. And I say that also because I don't want to get suspended. The Weasel House, I would never call them that. It seems like in addition to Jake getting Cody suspended so that he gets off scot-free calling for John Granato's job, which, by the way, management acquiesced to. Granato, no more. Not a part of ESPN 97.5 anymore. Jeremy has also been suspended. I don't even know what for. So you know what? Here's what I'm going to say. Jay Gasman, great radio host. The best radio host. Everyone knows it. He's like, if Mike Greenberg didn't suck, that is what Jay Gasman is. Like, Jay Gasman is the dreams of Mike Greenberg. He is what Greeny wants to be. So there you go. Now you know the rest of the story. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. People were very interested to hear what Jeff Bagwell would have to say on the Astros broadcast last night with Todd Callis. If you were watching before the game, Chandler Rome took a picture of Jose Abreu in the batting cage with a very attentive Jeff Bagwell standing by him. Was Jeff Bagwell doing a little bit of Big J journalism before he went on the broadcast? I'm not 100% sure, but here is Todd Callis, I think, expertly asking the awkward question about, so, Abreu, what's going on here?
Chance to talk to you on the broadcast. What have you seen from Abreu this year, and how is he getting closer?
Yeah, I will tell the fans, he's going to be fine. He's got a long track record, and he's going through it right now. All he's doing is he's getting stuck a little bit. He's getting kind of over his body in front, and he gets stuck, which means he kind of has to, his bat head, his brain tells his bat head get to the ball, and that means he has to stay, lean back, and he either gets jammed or he tops the ball. Every single person that's played this game has been through what he's been through right now. The new team and all that, it's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of frustration. But let me tell you something, nobody cares more than Jose.
And nobody works harder.
No.
A little uncomfortable swing at that first.
He is, you know, and this is part of it. It's, it becomes in your brain. I don't care how long you've been playing this game. Mentally, you get really messed up. And he's just going through it right now. But all it takes is one swing, one pitch, and he can start doing what he normally does.
Jeff Bagwell just said that Jose Abreu works harder than Jose Altuve and works harder than Alex Bregman. Is the Astros clubhouse going to be able to survive that commentary from the Astros Hall of Famer? See, that's what, if Jeremy wasn't suspended, he could do on today's show. He says Abreu is going through a slump. It's hard to sell anyone on that, Jeff. It really is. There are alarming discrepancies in past Jose Abreu and present Jose Abreu when it comes to just about every single analytical number. And I get it. Jeff doesn't play that bleep. He don't play that. I also thought it was kind of interesting to hear Jeff say, like, yeah, when your brain is telling your bat head what to do. Honestly, I have more of a problem when my bat head is telling my brain what to do. Sean shaking his head. What? That's more of a problem for the average human being in our world. Okay. But Jeff Bagwell weighing in on Jose Abreu, he thinks it's just a slump. It's a long bleeping slump, Jeff. I hope he's right. We all do. But I mean, at what point are we going to wave the white flag on this? And specifically, when will Dusty Baker wave the white flag on this? Because all you can do is continue to play him. Maybe you move him down in the lineup a little bit. Or you could be like a real zagger and move him to the top of the lineup and have him bat more. More reps, more practice. Slump's going to be in the past. Hit Jose Abreu lead off. No one suggested that except for here. The Paul Gallant Show, the epitome of baseball knowledge in Houston, Texas. I got to say, even though Bagwell, the general manager slash consultant slash whatever the hell you want to call him, frustrates the hell out of me, Jeff Bagwell on the broadcast is fun. I enjoyed it. He says oops whenever the Astros do something good in this like oops kind of way. I love that. And then there was a moment where he just was an old man struggling with technology.
If a guy hits you with that and you're right-handed, that's a salvage. And it doesn't hurt. Like, you don't even have to wear that with it off the knee or off the back.
Is that music coming from your phone?
Is it?
No.
Oh, yeah. Another Scarface.
We're trying to do a broadcast
here. Shout out to Brad Jordan, a.k.a. Scarface. Sorry about that. I told you this is a clown show up here.
I'm listening to this music in the background. Like, what's going on?
Aaron, that's my boy.
Your boy Scarface playing on your phone.
Yeah. It's a clown show, I told you. That's why I get kicked out of here in 3 games. They say, get rid of that clown. Send him back to prison.
I'm not going to lie. If I heard Jeff Bagwell on the broadcast more, I would look the other way a little bit more with some of these moves that he made this offseason, all of which look terrible, by the way. Michael Brantley, Rafael Montero, Jose Abreu, good googly boogly. I'd look the other way. More Bagwell on the broadcast, I'm like, that's our Jeff. He's fun.
That's the thing. That's what former players should be, former like legends of the organization. They should just be like, hey, the fill-in guy doing color commentary. Like, he does, you know, 4 series a year. And, oh, look how zany and funny he is. And then where it goes wrong is We do not have a GM. We're heavily considering his input on how to, rebuild and retool around this World Series champion. It's like, nope, that's too much. That's too much.
Far too much. I want to hear a jock explain it to me like I'm five and ignore all the math. Because the math, yeah, it works, but no one wants to hear about it. Come on. Some comments. Triple odd shot. Biggio is a dumbass. Double Rods, he's about as exciting as that Danny Vera guy. Damn, that's not cool. He's trying to try out for the morning show. Don't say that. Double Rods, knee-slapping hilarity. Guys, come on. And that was fun yesterday. You got to admit Jeff Bagwell was fun. And I mean, to go back to what Sean was saying a little bit ago, like some Houston legends come back into the broadcast booth, and I mean, they are literally trying to collect their check as soon as they leave, or they're falling asleep, like whenever Clyde Drexler was doing Rockets games. I'm not gonna lie, I did enjoy Clyde Drexler on Rockets games. Like, what's the most obvious thing I can say? There's this video game I used to play. It was NBA Courtside 2 featuring Kobe Bryant. It was an N64 game, and I always loved whoever was the color commentator in that. Whenever a guy was having a rough shooting night, he was like, he couldn't throw a grape in the ocean. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. And that was what Clyde brought to the table. But it wasn't fun. Jeff Bagwell, bring some fun. I like it. And honestly, it's going to make me look the other way about his bad general managing. And yeah, that might make you think that I'm not serious. Welcome to the Paul Gallant Show. We are what we are. We like fun people. Even if they're not good at their jobs.
Like us.
Yeah, that's what we do. We're just being consistent. We like to see people speak English. We also like to see people succeed. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Up next, the NFL thinks you're a stupid son of a bitch and doesn't care about any of your plans. You'll find out why next.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Stand, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. The NFL hates you. You know why? Because they have voted to flex Thursday night football 24-8. When the NFL first thought about pushing this idea, Thursday night flexing throughout the year, Giants co-owner John Mara called it abusive to fans. And they still did it, and they voted in a landslide. This sucks for people who want to travel for a game. This makes it really difficult to plan ahead. Say you want to go somewhere some weekend and watch a football game. Is the team going to be there that weekend? You now no longer know. I don't know when the flex scheduling will potentially begin for Thursday night football. I would imagine, I think for the NFL's other games that get flexed, I think it starts, Sean, and I could be wrong, like week 9, week 10. They don't usually do it the first couple of weeks of the year. That could change in the future as well. So this would likely be second half of the season games. But if you are somebody who wants to travel to another city to watch an NFL game, this shafts you completely. And I would imagine there's a lot of teams, coaches, players that would be annoyed by the idea of all of a sudden down the road, maybe you're going to get a short week. Now, I guess the way to spin zone it in your mind would be, well, hey, you're also getting a week and a half bye after that Thursday night game. But Thursday night flex scheduling is now going to be a part of the NFL.
So it can, for Sunday night football, it can be used twice in between weeks 5 and 10, and then as many times as necessary weeks 11 to 18.
Okay.
And then it doesn't have, the NFL rules page doesn't have Thursday night rules up yet, since they just passed it yesterday.
Gotcha. CEO entrepreneur, born in 1964, Jeffrey Bezos. They did this for Jeffrey.
Ah.
Jeffrey Bezos, Amazon, the influence that they have on the NFL. It's only going to grow. It won't be long before Amazon owns you and you are a slave of the real-world equivalent of Skynet, Amazon. Alexa, you know I'm right. You know I'm right, listening in everybody's home. You know I'm right. You will kill all of us. Jeffrey Bezos now is killing your late NFL season travel plans.
Yeah, so back to football. It is funny that they can also flex Monday Night Football starting in Week 12. It's so funny that as the schedule release gains in, like, notoriety in the NFL schedule, they're also like, but we can change the schedule at any time. But pay attention. Look at these zany videos that the Twitter team came up with.
Right.
But also, like, we can change, like, we it
we
doesn't
can
matter.
This.
It
this doesn't matter. Actually matter.
This is just the order that you play them in.
I will say this. As someone who watches most games, most football games on TV, I am actually happy that they will be flexing some good games into those slots. I mean, it was kind of annoying that the Texans and Eagles were playing at the same time as a World Series game, right? I paid no attention to that Thursday night football game. I remember we did the show the next day. I was like, I have no idea what happened. Sorry. No idea.
Honestly, specifically for last year's Texans, having them play exclusively during World Series games would have been great.
We were okay. We were okay with that.
Okay, cool.
We were okay.
Don't even have to watch it.
The NFL continuing to not care about the fan. They are giving the 2025 NFL draft to Green Bay, a city that calls itself Title Town, and a city that, per realestate.us news, is the number one place to live in the United States of America. Green Bay, Wisconsin. I took a look at all the other attractions that are in Green Bay, Wisconsin. They have a water park that's open some of the year. They have a bunch of Segway tours. That was it.
Cool.
Did that on my Gallant Says podcast last night. I was like, wow, I'm alarmed by how little things there are to do here. You could go to the Packers Pro Shop. You could go on a Green Bay Packers tour. This is pandering to Packers fans. Hey, if you want to go and you're a Packers fan to the NFL draft, cool. But I don't think people want to fly to Chicago or to Milwaukee and drive 2 hours from each of those places to go. If the draft was in Milwaukee, great. Milwaukee's a cool city, especially once things start warming up. Chicago, fun place to visit when it's the summer, assuming you stay on the right part of town. Green Bay, Wisconsin, really? By the way, on this same rankings where Green Bay is number one, in 1 year, Houston dropped from 59 to 140. Guess what cities in Texas Houston is now behind on this ranking, which is rather embarrassing. El Paso. Are you bleeping kidding me? The border town? And Beaumont. So if you're living in Beaumont, I know we got a lot of listeners in Beaumont. Guess what? You can claim that Beaumont's a better place to live than Houston. And you know that's wrong. But hey, you could call it. You could call it like it is. That's what it says on the rankings, everybody. Congratulations to our friends in Beaumont.
131 in the nation, Beaumont. How about that?
Austin was one from 17 through 19. They're now at 40. Dallas dropped from 32 to 113. There seems to be some sort of political slant on this list. I can't quite put my finger on it. Anyway.
I will say Austin was number one for 3 years that I lived there. Just saying. Take that for what it is. And then immediately dropped to 40.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, just saying.
Speaking of just saying, I'm just saying Ben Roethlisberger remains the most. Remains the most? What? Remains the worst. Ben Roethlisberger was doing an interview with Kenny Pickett where he admitted, yeah, I wasn't rooting for you, Kenny, when you first took over the Steelers job last year.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be completely honest. Like, and I'll be super transparent here, and I'm going to get blasted. I probably shouldn't say this, but I mean, who cares at this point? I wouldn't say that I wanted Kenny to necessarily fail, but like, you know, when someone comes to replace you, and you're like, you know, I still feel like I had it. Like, I hope he doesn't come like ball out, because then it's like Ben who, right?
Right.
But honestly, I think as you started playing, and like I found myself rooting more and more for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, we sat down here and watched games, and we were high fiving, going nuts when you were like leading the team and doing things, you know, and running and doing some of the trying to fight people, all that stuff. Like,
what do you think Kenny Pickett was thinking there? If I were in Kenny Pickett's shoes, and he was saying that. Yeah, I would smile and be polite, but I would be inwardly thinking Milledgeville, Georgia. Like, that's what I would be thinking the entire time. Georgia, Georgia, Ben, tell us about Georgia. This is why no one roots for you. Georgia. Also because you stuck around in the NFL 1 year too long and everyone wanted to die when you were foisted upon national television and looking absolutely terrible. What? Was that game he had 45 passes and he threw for like 102 yards? His last game.
Was that like against the Bengals?
Right.
And then he did like a lap around the stadium.
Yeah. And didn't the Steelers also make the playoffs too? So technically it wasn't the end of the road for Ben Roethlisberger. And then they posted this awkward picture of him and his family like walking off the field. And it felt just as staged as the Drew Brees thing. Yeah. Anyway. Hey, as we continue to go around the National Football League, Texans OTA started today. So I guess that means we're going to hear from C.J. Stroud finally after a practice. We're going to hear from D'Amico Ryans later today. I'm sure that the Jake Asman show on Jake Asman 97.5 and 92.5 will have lots of things to say about that. No Cody, because Cody got suspended. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Look, you're going to be seeing a lot of dumb stories over the next couple of days, including a story like this. Frank Reich was asked about number one overall pick, Bryce Young, taken right before the Houston Texans were on the clock in this year's draft, and the way that he has looked at minicamp and OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, it was 10 out of 10. I mean, you know, just, and so were the other guys, but just complete command, control, poise. You could tell the way he was seeing it, the way working through progressions, accuracy in the throw, ball placement of the throw was all very good.
The dorkiest thing that people will do at OTAs, at training camp, is to actually take down statistics for a quarterback throwing in shorts. So you see what their numbers are over the course of the day, and then they will add yardage in, which is funny because no one ever gets tackled on any of these plays. And you'll see someone has like a line of, oh, he was 24 at 25 for 189 yards and 7 touchdowns. And you're wondering, wait, did that go against any defenders at all? Did it go with any pass rush?
Were they wearing pads?
Right. was he wearing his red jersey? It's funny. You're about to see it. Just remember, okay? Yeah, we do get annoyed by pretty much all off-season NFL stories. I think that's what this show has come to. We could turn it into some good content, but more often than not, we're just going to bitch and moan about how the NFL offseason sucks, right?
It's about, like, it's the practice that sucks. Like, I completely understand why players all, like, hate practice, mm-hmm. because I hate hearing about it.
I do, too.
I don't even have to be out there in the heat, and I wish they didn't have to do this.
We might have to, in the 10-minute drill tomorrow, like, keep tabs on every single player that has weighed in on this offseason and said, yeah, I don't want to go to training camp. It's like 7 people, like just on record saying, yeah, I'm okay not having a job because I don't want to go to training camp. Figure it out.
any current free agent that you're like, wow, they're still pretty good and they're 31 plus,
right.
It's because they don't want to do training
camp. They literally just don't want to go to training camp. Speaking of bad NFL offseason content, I was stunned to see how ESPN reacted to the harsh words and criticism by a former Texan player of another important sports figure in this state. What am I talking about? You'll find out next after that vague-ass tease. Paul Gallant Show.
This is the Paul Gallant Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Whoops. Oh, Mauricio gets into one.
Whoops.
He's looking for his first home run of the year, and he has it. Mauricio Dubon with his first home run of the season, hit 5 last year. Said he was going to stop swinging for home runs as much, but he found a pitch he liked there.
Mauricio Dubon has a home run this year. You know who doesn't have a home run this year? That would be Jose Abreu. He doesn't have a home run. He hasn't had a home run in a while. So, not optimal. But hey, Mauricio Dubon hit a home run. Jose Abreu had 2 hits. Corey Jolks had a home run. Martin Maldonado had a home run. Probably not the best sign when in a game where the Astros scored 12 runs and Maldi slash Dubon slash Jolks are all going yard. You don't. Yordan went yard twice, though, so that's neat. And the Astros won 12-2. They're now just a game back of the Rangers in the American League West after a bit of a sluggish start. May sports content sucks. I'm seeing right now, after the Nuggets advanced to the NBA Finals, conversation that we'll probably dive into a little bit later. Is LeBron right to be considering retirement? Earlier today, I saw a subject that they had about, hey, if the Celtics and Lakers both get swept, is this bad for the NBA? Which is dumb. It's so dumb. I'm a Celtics fan. Nuggets Heat will be lit. Jimmy Butler and Nikola Jokic almost fought each other once in a game. People forget about this. This will be great. You have two absolute hardos. Jokic, when he gets pushed, I don't know if you saw him absolutely wipe out that Morris brother in the middle of that game that led to Jimmy Butler and Jokic essentially yelling at each other. He's about that life. Butler's about that life. We need Heat Nuggets. I like the Celtics, but I kind of want it just to end tonight. I kind of want it just to end. So it's not bad for the NBA. This is where we're at, Sean. This is sports.
But what about the ratings? Who cares?
Like, it's so like, funny that people talk about ratings for a sporting game. Who gives a damn? You either watch it or you don't. Who cares?
And it's not like the NBA is going to have to like close up shop if not enough people watch. Like, you know, it's not like the XFL where they're like hanging on by a thread. It's like,
right.
No, they'll sign a new TV contract. There'll be a record TV contract because we're not that far away from the biggest second round, the most watched second round of all time. It's like, it's fine, guys. Like, the nerdy TV watch, or, you know, the sports business people like,
okay,
that weigh
Novell,
in on the
no
Nielsen ratings. Yeah.
Right. Like, go back to your unaccredited school that you went to, Northwestern. Okay. No one cares. Mega says BS. The NBA wanted Boston, LA. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't.
Yeah.
Do you want it? Like, this is about us. We don't care. We do not, like, the success of the NBA Finals television ratings is not going to determine whether or not you enjoy the actual finals itself. The Celtics are playing with zero juice. They don't deserve to make it. The Lakers, they're not good. This was a great year for them, all things considered, but they're not good.
Does anyone like walk out of a movie being like, I really enjoyed that, and then they see like, oh, it actually kind of bombed. Never mind, it sucked.
On Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know what? I watched.
It's not even about Rotten Tomatoes scores. It's about like literally the box office that you're caring about.
Oh,
you're caring about how many tickets get sold.
No one went to go see Fast 10, which obviously would never happen.
Yeah,
I'm sure it broke all the records.
$300 million opening weekend.
NFL offseason talk is just like this kind of conversation. Like, this is when the real content creators like stand out, and the absolute amateurs, they collapse under the pressure. So leave it to another morning show on ESPN to take an interview that DeAndre Hopkins did on the I Am Athlete podcast, where Hopkins was asked to power rank the five best quarterbacks in the NFL, the guys that he'd want to play for. And it turned into this morning a segment on SportsCenter where Hopkins maybe slightly shaking his head meant that he was dissing Dak Prescott, who he rightly did not have in his top five quarterback list. Like, that's what happens on this this time of year. This is what these shows do. And it's always Lakers, LeBron, Cowboys? It's that over and over again. But Hopkins did have some relatively interesting things to say. You got to interpret this on your own, because Sean Mapes and we disagree on what to take away from this. DeAndre Hopkins on the I Am Athlete podcast says that he likes a quarterback from Houston.
Number five. That's a good one. That's a good question. Number five.
Dak Prescott?
I like Dak Prescott.
Any of these young rookie quarterbacks stand out to you? Do you want to catch a ball from a young player? Are you past that point in your career? Like, some guys out there.
Yeah, I'm past that point in my career. But I heard that the quarterback we got from Houston is pretty good. I like him. My grandfather was sending me his highlights on YouTube.
So part of me was thinking Hopkins, who's rather noncommittal about whether or not he is going to play for the Cardinals this coming season, that maybe he was talking about the quarterback, C.J. Stroud, that's now in Houston. And he just couldn't remember him off the top of his head because he is still living in Houston. We would find out a little bit later in this interview. But, Sean, you disagree.
Yeah, I think him saying the rookie quarterback that we got from Houston when the Arizona Cardinals, the team he plays for, drafted a quarterback from Houston, Clayton Tune. I feel like he's talking about Clayton Tune.
I don't think he is.
Why would he say we talking about the Houston Texans?
Because he played for the Houston Texans.
Yeah, a million years ago. He's not on the team.
Every now and then, Sean, during a commercial break, I think I'm still working at the flagship. I almost say
that's because
sports radio.
You're
you know
all district safety and you might have
CTE. That is true.
You're a headhunter back
then.
Thank
you for respecting the battles that my body went through.
No, but I just like I get that we have to treat every athlete that played in the city of Houston in 2018 like they still play in the city of Houston,
well, yeah,
even though they all left before
barrel.
The pandemic. Yeah,
right.
He's not a Houston athlete. He would not say we when talking about the Houston Texans. He's an active player on a different team.
I don't know. So
they drafted someone from Houston. He said from Houston.
Yeah, well.
Why would he say we and
Stroud
then say the
now,
quarterback from Houston and talk about C.J. Stroud?
Because C.J. Stroud is now from Houston. You just don't get it.
And ew, it's his second home?
Yeah, that's where DeAndre Hopkins lives, too. Yeah. Hey, look,
it's the 40th best place. No, it's 140th best place to live, according to that list.
I don't think DeAndre Hopkins is likely to say we about the Arizona Cardinals right now.
I feel like he's more likely to say about the Cardinals than a team he doesn't play for.
Okay, so. You also might have heard at the beginning of that. That's where the idea that DeAndre Hopkins was dissing Dak Prescott came from. When that the lady on the I Am Athlete podcast was like, Dak Prescott, like she said it like that, and he kind of shook his head. Was he shaking his head at her presence or at the idea of Dak Prescott as a top five quarterback? Anyway, I guess this girl is a Cowboys fan. She is attractive, but she. I don't know what her name is. I don't care. This is like the producers on these podcasts. And I'm like, well, oh, you just say nah facts. That's your only contribution to this. Like, I don't care. Anyway, here she is asking DeAndre Hopkins if he wants to play for a team in blue and silver. And it's got me thinking that maybe Hopkins does have Houston on the brain.
How do you feel about blue and silver? Just out of curiosity.
He likes it.
You like that? Do you like that colorway? Do you feel like that's something you'd be comfortable wearing on Sundays, Mondays, and sometime Thursday?
I love No State Tax is my favorite. So, I still live in Houston, Texas. So,
first off, he thinks taxation is theft. Is DeAndre Hopkins a closet Republican? Second. I guess it would be closet libertarian. Second, he's saying he's still living in Houston. He wants to play for a team with no state income tax. And on top of that, the quarterback in Houston, he looks pretty good. I don't think that his grandpa's going to be sending him YouTube highlights, Sean, of Clayton Tune. I don't.
He might.
I don't. And I'm a big, you all know me. I'm the biggest Cougar guy there is. I thought the Texans should have taken Clayton Tune second overall, but they just didn't.
He could also play, so he could play in the state of Texas. He could play in the state of Washington.
That's
Seahawks.
True. Huh? Seahawks. But they got too many receivers right now.
State of Florida. Huh?
Well,
they
Buccaneers
have five teams.
The Dolphins, maybe?
Dolphins?
But he's too slow for the Dolphins, I think. The Jaguars? Trevor Lawrence?
Jags. Huh? Give the young quarterback a weapon? I don't know.
The Titans? I don't think Tennessee has a state income
Tennessee,
tax.
Tennessee, no state income tax. Titans have literally no one playing wide receiver for them.
Does Vegas have a state income tax? I don't think so.
No, Nevada does not.
Okay.
South Dakota also does not.
Ooh.
If they get an expansion team, maybe.
Do they have an arena team anymore? I feel like they used to. Like the Dakota Destroyers. I could be wrong. Yeah.
New Hampshire, if he wants to play for the New England Patriots.
Oh.
Even though
you'd have to live up there,
yeah,
and they also
you'd have to commute.
Yeah, sadly, like New England is not a state; it's a region, and it's a bunch of different states together. Anyway, guys, this is
Alaska.
This is peak content, and also Jonathan Gannon was asked about DeAndre Hopkins, and he sounds like a man who knows his girlfriend's probably going to leave, but he's just trying to play it cool.
I'm not worried about Hop. He's played a long time, and he's extremely intelligent. And I think he'll fit right in when he decides to come. But again, it's voluntary. So that's his decision, and we're behind it.
That's all you can do. If you love something, let it go. Or ignore it and hope for the best. Right? Isn't that how it works? Is that why I'm still single at 34? I don't know. Paul Galacho, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. Astros won 12-2 over the Milwaukee Brewers yesterday, and I'm challenging you to zag. Tell me why it was bad, what they did yesterday, because you can't. It was really good. We'll talk about that, other things as well, including an NBA Finals that I'm really excited for, and a lot more. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Stick around.